Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me.
Amen.
If it had not been for the Lord on my side,
amen.
I know a lot of you can say that this morning. That if it had not been for God on your side, where would you be? Where would you be? I know where I'd probably be, someplace in Cincinnati, in the streets, trying to have a good time, thinking that the streets was the good time. I know where I would be, but I thank God that he rescued me. I thank God that he rescued me. First, giving honor to God, because all honor is due. He is due all honor, everything. I thank him for his grace, for his mercy. I thank you to the Tabernacle Baptist Church, the deacons, for this opportunity this morning. To all the ministers whom I labor with. To the music department, to the media and sound ministry. And I want to stop right there at the media and sound ministry. You know, we went through COVID for over 2 years, and we were at home, but the media and sound ministry was still here. So I would just like you to continue to lift them up as they continue to hold the church together. You don't know what you got until you're in a situation to know what you need. And to our church family here, and to those who are out there on the World Wide Web, I say good morning to you. Let us pray. Even now, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless me to articulate your words so that every ear and every heart in this house will hear you speaking to them and understand what you have sent me to do. Help us all to grow in the knowledge of your word. Lord, I'm relying on you and you alone. I'm relying on you, God, for the effectiveness of this message as it's communicated through the Holy Spirit today. Lord, I've done my study. I need your spirit. Lord, I've prepared to the best of my ability. I need your power. Send a fresh wind and a fresh fire. Remove Robin right now, Lord, and stand up in me. In Jesus' precious name, thank God and amen. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And you know that only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he will surely give you the bread for that day. And y'all probably wonder, why does she say that all the time? Why does she say that? Because when I wake up in the morning, I know it was the Lord that gave me that day. He did not have to do it. He blessed me on last Sunday and woke me up. He blessed me on last Monday and woke me up. Last Tuesday and woke me up. Last Wednesday. If anybody know this testimony, you ought to say amen. All the way to the day he blessed me and woke me up. And I know he is the only one that can make a day. So he gave me this day, and he's going to give me what I need for this day. So I'm saying that for a reason. I say it in the morning. Thank God for waking me up, because I know only you can make a day. We can't make a day. Man can make a lot of things. Man, they creating a lot of things. But they cannot make a day. They cannot make a night. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. If you don't mind turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 6 and 7, and then Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version today. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are present, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You may be seated this morning. Today, it was hard getting up here. My spirit has been saying, Lord, let this cup pass me by. You know, as associates prepare for the sermon during the week, we're writing and studying, trying to get the words and the sentences together, but life still happens and will continue to happen to you as well. I know you have all experienced some life issues this week because life still happens. And then while we're preparing, you have to think, when life happens, do you really believe the word that you're writing about? Do you really believe what you're writing about? Because sickness still happens. Death still happens. Disappointment still happens. Friends will despitefully use you. And I had to remember that the Lord said that he would make my enemies my footstool. He also said, Jesus said unto them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but for those who are sick. We also know that when the trump of God sounds, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive shall remain caught up together with them in the clouds. So in preparing for this moment, I had to ask the question, do I believe what I'm writing about? We actually live this word. We as associates, we live this word that we're writing about before it's even given to you. The word cuts as a two-edged sword. So as we're writing, we're being cut. As we're getting the sentences together, we're being healed. Life is still going on, but the word must go forward. That's where I'm at today. With setbacks happening, but the word says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within, we will be blessed. And today, I'm going to say I'm working with the power of the Lord. Because the things that have come through my mind and my flesh, you can't use them in the pulpit. You can't use them in life. I can just say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm just trying to be better today than I was on yesterday. A lot of times, people who don't really know what you have been saved from continue to irritate you. And y'all know I'm from Cincinnati. I'm not from Dayton, so I didn't go to school with nobody in here. No elementary school, no high school, no junior high school, no college, no community college. I didn't hang out at the restaurants, go skating, none of that. because I wasn't raised in Dayton. I was raised in Cincinnati. So y'all don't know what I've been saved from. But I know exactly what I've been saved from. And the Lord had to talk to me and say, stay within the parameters of your salvation. Stay within the parameters of your salvation. Remember what the Lord saved you from. So your salvation, what the Lord saved you from, it doesn't matter where you from Cincinnati, from Dayton, from California, from Detroit, from New York. It doesn't matter. You still got to walk in that same salvation. So we can't act one way here and then act another way somewhere else. We can't say something on the street and then come in here and start singing praises to God. Our salvation is for wherever we go and for whoever we are. For the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Holy Spirit within us, and it's a divine love. And the expressions of joy, it should overflow. Joy is something that the Lord gave you. Happiness, you can create your own self. You can create your own happiness. But joy, the Lord gave you joy, and nobody can take your joy away. So regardless what you're going through, you should be overflowing with some joy. Somewhere deep down inside, there should be some joy in your life. I don't care what your face is looking like right now. It's got to be some joy somewhere in your life. Peace. Say peace that subdues. Peace that passes all understanding. That's what God gives to us. Peace that passes all understanding. Long suffering and patience that endures. Sometimes we got to long suffer for our children. We got to be patient. Because we have one vision in our mind, what we want them to be, but they don't even see that vision. They see what's out in the streets, and we just got to be patient. We got to be patient and love them regardless. And they will be who God said they will be. Because the Bible says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they get old, they shall not void what they learn. Shall not. So it doesn't say what age they get old. It says train them up in the way they should go when they get old. Now, some people get old when they're 10, some at 15, some at 20, some at 30. But then you have some people that's 70 years old. They're not old yet. Some at 80, not old yet. Some at 90, not old yet. Still don't know the Lord. So you don't know what age is old. Because the Lord's time is different from our time. So we got to be patient and long-suffering. Kindness. Over the holidays, on December, my son got married. And when he first told me he met somebody, he got a girlfriend. I was like, okay. Because he hadn't told me that in probably 10 or 15 years, you know. Not to say that I really got a girlfriend. And I said, is she nice? He said, Mama, she is kind. I never heard him use those words before. And so I had to think about it. Kindness is a characteristic. Nice is something that you can fake. Kindness is a characteristic. It's just in you. It's just in you. Goodness, a life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. Strength of spirit and self-control. That was me this week. Strength of spirit and self-control. The Bible says, never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless, never ending. So what does this say for us today? I want to talk about one of the fruits of the Spirit, but the emphasis on faith. Walking by faith and walking by sight are opposing and conflicting positions. Walking by faith and walking by sight are opposing and conflicting positions. The Apostle Paul famously said, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Early in my Christian faith, I had a difficult time understanding what Paul was talking about. But then Deacon Binding and Reverend Bray would say the same thing in Bible class or Sunday school. And I'm here today because of Deacon Binding and Reverend Bray. They were the teachers of the word that kept me engaged and wanting to come back and learn more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then I'd hear someone repeat it, "Walk by faith and not by sight." And I would say, "Amen." But I really did not know how to put this in practice. I've been in church my entire life. I don't remember a time when there was no church in my life. But I was not a student of the word. Can anybody say amen on that? It's different than being in church and being a student of the word of God, not just a student in studying, but a student following the word of God. So I had been there a long time, but I was not a student of the word of God. But when I became a student of the word of God, when I started paying attention to what was being said, showing up for Sunday school and Bible class and any other class that they had, I became very curious about this word of God. This was in my mid to early 20s. I wanted to get an understanding of what Apostle Paul was teaching. We must get good at understanding of this passage. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul teaches us of what is almost like an alternate universe in DC language. It's like a meta universe. Now, if you don't watch DC, comic movies, I do all the time. When the series come, I'm on right now, Flash, the last season they put down. So I am that person that is watching Superman, Batman, Flash. I am that person, the Green Arrow. I am that person that watches these type of movies in a series all the way through. I mean, I am there with popcorn, everything. I am there, okay? And in DC language, there's something called a meta universe. The meta universe is like you can be here, but you can be there. You can be human, but you can be non-human. So if you are meta, that means that you're human, but you're not human. You're here, but you're not here. So in DC, it's more than one Earth. Earth 1, 2, 3, Earth 21, Earth 23. We up to Earth 23 now in the last one I watched. So, and I get excited on that, okay. Okay. The alternate universe, it is a realm where God's dreams for us to live. That's where God's dreams for us live, okay? God has dreams for us, but it's dependent on us whether we get them. It's a place where God's perfect desires are on display. It's almost like watching a movie trailer, seeing something you like, and you get excited because the movie is coming. It is not here yet. You have not seen the entire movie, but you have seen enough to get excited to say you want to see it. This is how it is when the Holy Spirit begins to give us glimpses of our future. We get excited. It's okay to get our hopes up. Why? Because it's coming soon. That's what they say on the movie trailer, coming soon. But we can get our hopes up that the dreams that the Lord has for us is coming soon. Understanding that God is eternal and he has a realm where he can see our future. We must realize that the Holy Spirit is capable of enabling us to peer into that realm. We get to see what God has planned for us. We get to discover our true purpose and potential. We get to discern God's will, God's best, and God's heart. When we believe what God, what the Holy Spirit has revealed, and if we make decisions in that present based on the future reality and not our present day reality, it is called faith. That's what faith is. Seeing into the next realm, seeing what God has told you you would be, seeing what you have prayed for, and believing it, even though it's not happening here on earth. Believing it, that is what faith is. To be clear, we can't peer into God's realm with our natural eyes. We must peer into God's realm within our spirit. They that worship him in spirit and truth. Okay. This is the connection between our spirit and what God reveals to us. His grace and his faith. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot peer into heaven from the earth or into eternity from time. In other words, you can't catch a dream wearing the wrong inner clothes. Wearing the wrong inner clothes. You know, we worry about what we're going to put on the outside. But God worries about what you put on the inside, our inner clothes. But when we are dressed in God's spirit, we need to know two things. Everything God is showing us is what he has stored up for us by his unearned grace. And if we don't have faith, we will never see it come to pass on earth. To live by faith, the Father expects us to live on earth based on what he allows us to see in his realm. So, we're here, but we're just strangers passing through. This is not our home. We just strangers passing through. Says the dreams he allows us to catch. Faith is peering into God's realm and then coming back to earth, to the earthly realm, and living your life based on what you saw. Peering into God's realm, peering into what faith says that we can do, or faith says that we can have, and coming back and walking this earth where we are not, this is not our home, we just, you know, passing through, coming back here and living our life according to what we've seen. The dream should be like a GPS, giving you directions on which way you need to be going in life, without a doubt, but with faith. Not with your natural sight, but with your spiritual sight. You are a spirit. Your spirit is the real you. Your spirit will live forever in one of two places, heaven or hell. To be clear, that's another realm. Heaven or hell, there's no doubt about it. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. People don't talk much about hell anymore. It's like hell does not exist. But hell does exist. There's a real hell. There's no purgatory. There's no weighing station. There's no delivery station. It's just heaven or hell, period. John the Revelator says, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. So you are either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That was a description of hell. But John also said, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And also there was no more seas. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. There is a heaven or hell. You going to hell or you going to New Jerusalem? You must remember you are a spirit. And we possess a soul, which is our mind, our emotions, our will, and we live in this body for now. The body we live in for now is called an earth suit. Your body is how you communicate with this world. You use your spirit to communicate with God's realm and your body to relate to this world through your five senses. When you can validate something with your senses, it makes sense to you. But God does not communicate with you through your body. God communicates with us through the Holy Spirit, who is connected to our spirit once we are born again. Before you were born again, you live your life based on what you could see in the natural. And some of us are still living our life based on what we see in the natural. You lived your life based on the input your body, your earth suit, received from this world. Remember, we are strangers. We just passing through. We strangers. But now that you are born again, now that you're born again, you are supposed to live based on what you see or perceive in the spirit. The Holy Spirit living inside of us gives us input from God's realm. If you can understand that, then it makes sense why 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 reads, we live by what we believe happened, not by what we can see. We live by what we believe has happened or going to happen, but not by what we can see. Paul's point is that as believers, we are not supposed to live by what we can see with our natural eyes, but rather what we perceive in our spirit. If you are able to do that, then you are living by faith. Faith is the ability to perceive what God reveals unto them, make decisions in the natural based on what you received in the spirit. Faith is listed as the fruit of the Holy Spirit because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot effectively live by faith. What I'm saying is today is not easy, and it is very difficult when you have not developed the ability to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. But once you do, and you start hearing God's voice and doing what he says, it's much easier for you to resist the urge to be moved by what you see down here on earth. Once you do and start hearing God's voice and doing what he says, it's easier not to be moved by what you see down here on earth in this world. Amen. Maturing to live by what you perceive and not what you see. You were born natural to this world. As you matured, you learned to relate to this world, to what you saw, and by the input your senses received from this world. The day you were born again, The day you accepted Jesus Christ, the day you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I believe you died and rose again for my sins. The day you were born again, everything changed. Everything changed. You are now natural to God's realm. The supernatural is natural to you. Now you are supposed to live by what you can see in the spirit and by the input your spirit received from God's realm. Once you were born again, the Bible teaches you to live by what you can perceive from God and not by what your natural sight sees. God wants you to get to the point where you see in the spirit, what you see in the spirit is more real to you than what you can see with your natural eyes. Can you believe that? God wants you to get to the point where what you see in the spirit is more real to you than what you see with your natural eyes. That's definitely seeing into another realm. The day you get to that point where you can perceive from God, what you perceive from God is more real to you than what you see in this world, is the day you are truly living by faith and not by sight. We have heard that a long time. I can't even count the many times I've heard somebody say, living by faith and not by sight. But when I started studying it, I was like, oh, Lord. Maybe that's why I like DC stuff so much, because, you know, they go from realm to realm. But they see this and they say, no, that ain't it. We got to go here and fix this and then come back here. But when we get to the point where we can, what God shows us and tells us and speaks to us is more prevalent than what we see, we'll be able to change a lot of things on this earth. Faith makes decisions in this world based on what is revealed from God's realm in the heavenly. This is how we get to experience heaven on earth. This is God's desire. Faith perceives the will of God and stands on what is revealed. Faith perceives the will of God and stands on what is revealed. Even when it's a fly in the face of what you can see in this world. You can't do this without God. You would never be able to do this without the Holy Spirit. This is why faith is a fruit of God's Spirit. We need to have a declaration of faith right now. We need to have our own declaration of faith right now. We need to be willing to study more, to listen to God's voice more, to get a better understanding of what he is saying. And what we see, come back to this realm and start working towards what we see. That's what faith is. When you start working towards what you've seen in the spirit, not what you see in the flesh with the fleshly eyes. When you start putting things in place according to what you see in the spirit, according to what God said you can have, according to your dreams, according to what the Lord said you would be. When you start walking that way, even when people say, no, you can't do this, you done already seen it in the faith realm. So it can be done. You start walking in that way. And not in the way towards what the world has out here. We need to have a faith declaration. Lord, we want to live by faith and not by our natural sight. Lord, we want to live by what I perceive in the spirit. Lord, and not be moved by what I see in the natural. We need to make that a declaration. Lord, what you reveal to me about me and the future is more real to me than what I see in this world every day. Can you say that when you wake up in the morning? Lord, what you reveal to me about me and my future is more real to me than what I see in this world every day. Lord, I will live by every word you speak to me. We need to make that a declaration. Lord, I will live by every word you speak to me. Lord, I will live my life based on your reality. We need to make that a declaration. Even when it flies in the face of the reality I see in this world, whoo, Jesus, we need to make that a declaration. Lord, I want to live in sync with you. We sync a lot of things with these Bluetooths and everything. We want whatever's going on here, we want to hear it over there. Or we want to see it over there. We sync up a lot of things. But this says, Lord, I want to live in sync with you. That means that you walking and you talking and you acting and you blessing and you encouraging just the way the Lord does for us. Instead of him behind us, carrying us, we need to be walking in his footsteps so we can be more like Jesus. That's walking in sync, living in sync with God. Lord, I want to live in harmony with you. We need to make that a declaration. Lord, I want to live in harmony with you. Lord, I know that living in harmony with you will often put me in a position to be misunderstood by the people who are in harmony with the world. That's deep. The choir was singing up here in harmony. I have faith. Suppose the choir was singing in harmony, and then you had a rock group singing as well. Can't sing in harmony with that. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So that means that it's hard to walk in harmony with God when we got all the things of the world around us that are not walking in harmony with God. But the Lord saved us. We were filled with the Holy Spirit the day we were born again. So that means that we are able to do that. We just got to practice. We got to apply it. We got to practice. We got to be more determined to be more like Jesus. We got to be more determined to walk by faith and not by sight. We got to be determined. We got to put this on the forefront of our minds. Lord, I thank you in the morning. Lord, I thank you in the morning. Thank you for this day, because I know only God can make the day and bless me with that day. We got to be more determined to walk in the Spirit and not in the world, not in the earth suit, but in our spirit suit. Lord, it is my intent to be a God pleaser rather than a man pleaser. Woo! We got to make that a declaration. I will walk and live by faith. We got to make that a declaration. I will walk and live by faith. We got to make that a declaration. I will walk and live by faith. I will not live by natural sight. Lord, I will remember the movie trailer that you showed me. I will remember. I will walk and live by faith, because greater is coming, and it's coming soon. God bless you.